Before we had become sidetracked after Pesach on Inyone, Churban, destruction, spent most of the year talking about Inyone and Sefer Bereishis. Sefer Bereishis, an interesting part of the Chumash. Rashi begins Sefer Bereishis asking a question. Why is it that Bereishis b'chal is in the Torah? Should Torah should begin with HaChodesh HaZeloch and Rosh Chodesh? What is Rashi asking? What's the answer? What Rashi is asking is a very simple thing. We have different Sefer Tanakh. We have the Torah. We have Iyov, for instance. Iyov is a story about Hashgacha, how God runs the world. Koheles, what our place is in the world. We have many different Sefer Tanakh. Torah is not just another sefer that was written by Ruach HaKodesh, dictated by Kodesh Baruch. The Torah is here to tell us how to lead our lives. It's the purpose of the Torah. And the Torah is here to tell us how to lead our lives. And that's the purpose of the Torah. There has to be in Bereishis Noach, certainly, some thing that is there to explain to us how to lead our lives, or help us how to lead our lives. Do something with practical life. The word Torah means from Horah, giving us directions of what to do in this world. Not just important hashkafas. That's what Rashi is telling us, the purpose of Torah. And that has very powerful implications, not only for Sefer Bereishis. Let's say, in this week's parsha, we have a detailed count of Klal Yisrael. Somehow, what's that doing there? How does that contribute to how we lead our lives? Somehow, according to Rashi's question and answer, it does. Sometimes we understand, sometimes we don't understand. Torah exists on many different levels. And we understand Torah on many different levels. You can teach the same story to a 5-year-old, a 25-year-old, 70-year-old person. Each will understand it on his own level. But getting back to Bris Olam, Sefer Bereishis is divided into a number of parts. There are two parts, two parshas, Bereishis Noach, that begin before Avraham Avinu. And it gives us instructions, understanding of who and what the human being is. And that understanding is central how we're supposed to lead our lives. There are two paths in dealing with the world. There's the idea in Bereishis. What does Bereishis say? Bereishis says the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in a detailed step-by-step fashion. Just in say, Pasuk goes, Huama Vayehi, Mitziva Vayamot. He doesn't say, Zat, let there be a world with all its details together. No. Step-by-step. That means everything was handcrafted by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very detailed way. So Bris Olam happened 6 days. And happening in 6 days, it was handcrafted with a step-by-step until HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Adam HaRishon. And then he did a very unique thing. Created Adam HaRishon with a Tzelem Elokim, Ofim and Adoma, and Nishmas Ruach Chaim. Created him as a Guf and Neshama together. And that's number one. Number two, he gave him instructions. Number three, he created, it says, Zohar and Nekeva, Tzelem Elokim. There is a Tzelem Elokim, there's a unique personality, spirituality of a man. It's a unique personality and spirituality of a woman, and they're different. Nowadays, people like to say everyone's the same. And that's why a man can become a woman become a man acts like a woman acts like a man, whatever. But that Torah said, no, 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 no. This bro created man as a man and woman as a woman. And he gave us our own, the man, the male personality, the woman personality. Vayomer Elokim. And he told, he gave them instructions what to do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about us. He demands of us. He expects of us. He put what he does, and we're here for a purpose. He put Adam and Chav in Gan Eden for a purpose. And they're in Gan Eden for a purpose. Being in Gan Eden for a purpose, he expects them to act in a certain way. And when they don't act in a certain way, there are consequences. That goes back to the very first human being. And then afterwards, he sent them out to the world. Sent them out to the world, he says, and this is your tafkid in the world, and this is your tafkid in the world, and this is how the relationship between men and women, man and animal, man and the soil, man and the world will be. Expect something of it. Now, all of that tells us Gershbor was involved in the world. He cares about the world. He expects from the world. And he will react accordingly. Even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he didn't leave it as something that's going to work by itself. No, he's involved in the world. And later on, Parshas Noach, and later on, Dvar HaFloga. And that understanding is the basis for everything we do. And without a deep understanding of that, one can't proceed to the top. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects and he demands, and if he tells us do X and we do Y, that means there's pure chashus. And he expects us to exercise our pure chashus in direction. This direction and not in that direction. The whole position of the human being in the world, vis-a-vis the world, vis-a-vis other people, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is set down here. Now, the world has always resisted this idea. It's resisted this idea. It's resisted this idea because it's a very uncomfortable idea. It's an uncomfortable idea because it means ultimately a human being isn't free to do what he wants. A human being is not just an undisciplined animal. A human being has a Tzelem Elokim, has a Metzaveh, has expectations, consequences. You're not just free in this world to do what you want. So, a way of dealing with this was Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah said, well, there are many forces in this world. And those forces, we have to get control over those forces, get control over our lives. It's much easier to control the forces. You can't control HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's get HaKadosh Baruch Hu out in the corner there so we control the other forces. So there's a god of the moon and a god of the sun and a god of the winds and a god of the tides and a god of everything else, and their spiritual forces, let's deal with them and manipulate them to get those forces working for us. Gives us control of the world rather than saying no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. Now, when Avodah Zarah began dying, Greek philosophy moved in. That's a whole different mahalach. But again, the goal of Aristotle is to push HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the equation. Push HaKadosh Baruch Hu out of the equation. So Aristotle came up with the idea the world just runs by itself. And you know, again, push HaKadosh Baruch Hu out. The world always was, always will be. There's no such thing as Bria. Whatever you see is the way it was. This world just goes by itself. And that's, that means I don't have to take responsibility for what I do, and there are no consequences to what I do. Lovely. And as that was playing out, then in came Christianity. Christianity said, yes, the distinction between human being and a Kodesh Baruch Hu isn't so great. A Kodesh Baruch Hu will become a human being, a human being, a Kodesh Baruch Hu, whatever. And they're against this whole idea of a detailed responsibility for our lives. You can do whatever you want and then get rid of any guilt. So the world, it's another way of turning the world into a hefker. And Torah says no. And then, as time came on, when Christianity began to fall apart, the 16th century, so that's when science began coming in. And a famous story that as once you have Newton's laws, you have all these laws. Newton's laws had a very certain massive implications of Newton's laws. And Newton's laws don't really hang together completely. But it began making room for an idea that HaKadosh Baruch was not such a fundamental part of the running of the world. There was a famous French physicist, mathematician, named Poincaré. And he wrote an entire famous book on celestial mechanics. That's how the planets go. And he presented it to his emperor, Napoleon. So how all the planets go and the stars go and how everything, the sun, how everything works. So Napoleon I told you half an hour. It's an hour. If you come back in 15 minutes, I can talk. Okay. So Napoleon turned to him and said, you talk about everything. You don't mention the great creator. What happened to him? And Poincaré said, I have no need for that hypothesis. I can explain the world without it. Now, what if science moves in and says, we don't need a HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore? It's another way of getting rid of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, 60, 70 years later, in walks Darwin, says the human being is just an animal. There's absolutely no difference between you and a dog. So you developed in a more complicated way. That means there's no responsibility for what you do, and you can do whatever you want in this world. Wait, is for your chavshus for it? Not really. Dogs react to stimuli, human beings react to stimuli. We're more sophisticated, so it's more sophisticated stimuli. And Torah says, and that's why this vision of what the Torah expects, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects of the world, is so key. And that's why Bereshis is here. Bereshis tells us, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me. He gave me a neshama. He demands of me. Gave me Bechira Chavshis. And I have the consequences to everything I do in this world. Okay. That's the story of Bereshis. And it applies to individuals, like it applied to Cain and Hevel. It applies to all of humanity, as it applies to the Dora Mabel. Applies to small groups of human beings, applies to the Afloga. And the world, the way we see it, is the result of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handcrafting the world towards his goals and expecting us to respond. And that's the basis of the whole Torah. What's the problem with evolution? The problem with evolution is very simple. I'm not going to the riots for it, against it. This is part of one of the leading philosophers in the university world in the United States, wrote a book a few years ago trying to explain the absurdity of evolution. And of course, he sort of got put into chayim because, why do people have to defend it with such passion? No, it makes no sense. Because it's much more convenient to say that human beings are an animal than to say we have a neshama and a guf and kriya chavshis and responsible to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything we do. And there is an ultimate power that demands of us, expects of us, judges of us. That's a very difficult idea. When Moshe Rabbeinu came to Paro, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Paro says, Mi Hashem Asher Yeshma B'Kom. So, what did Chazal tell us? He had a book of all the officially approved Avodah Zorahs in this world, and goes to the book, all the officially approved Avodah Zorahs in the world. Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is not here. What does Chazal want to tell us about that stuff? An ancient world. There are all sorts of powers in this world. And then there's the God of the Greeks, the God of the Romans, the God of the Egyptians, the God of the gods of who knows what. And each one, and you can do what you want because this is the way your national culture and God wants you to do it. You can do it. There's no sense there's one absolute power in this world that gives us absolutes that can't be manipulated and to which we have to submit ourselves. Mi Hashem Hashem. This concept Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, that there's one absolute power that gives absolute rules, directs our lives, expects of our lives. That's a radical thing. It's much easier to believe that you're an overgrown animal. You don't have to report to anyone. You don't have to answer to anyone. So, the story of the Bria carries within it incredible, incredible consequences. It says, I was put here by HaKadosh Baruch Hu who created the entire world. It also says something else. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah. That means, I can't say, well, the Torah doesn't fit the human personality. Because who created the human personality? HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Tzelem Elokim that he gave us. He created that whole personality. And when they went out of Gan Eden, he changed that personality. But our personalities are a consequence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our goof is a consequence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Handcrafted. It wasn't just zap, it happened. Every detail. Means every detail is worked out. And therefore I can't say the Torah doesn't fit me. No such thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me, created the Torah and put us together. You can't say it doesn't fit. And it's Bechira Chavshis. So that is the overwhelming reason why the story of the Bria is such an essential story. The story of the Bria is essential because it says, who is the leader? And then at the end of Parshas Noach, we have the story of Terach. Terach is one of the most unusual human beings. The Chumash. Avram Avinu is born to Terach. Could be Avram Avinu developed differently. It's a birth defect, no. That's the way it was. Terach had three children. Avram, Nochor, and Haran. Haran had a daughter called Sur Yemenu. Nochor had a granddaughter, Rivka Yemenu. He had a great granddaughter, Rachel Leah. Everything comes out of Terach. When Avram Avinu wanted a wife for Yitzhak, he said, go back to my homeland. It's a very special home. I only want someone who has roots with Terach. If you take a look at the Ramban, in the beginning of Perish on Eov, says, who is this whole chevra around Eov if they weren't Jewish? Where did they come with their ideas from? It's all from the descendants of Terach. Descendants of Terach were a different group of people. And what was unique about Terach? Terach was, he had a store for selling idols. He was in the business of Avodah Zarah. Now, being in the business of Avodah Zarah means you have a very vested interest in Avodah Zarah. Some people make, what have people really believe and think they make a business out of. And then, Vayikach Terach is Avram Beno, Vechlok Ben Horon Ben Beno, Ve'esorei Chaloso, Eish is Avram Beno. Ve'yetzu Ito Me'ur Kazdin, Ve'lechitz Aretz Hanan, Ve'yavo Ad Horon Ve'yesh Visho. This is an amazing pasuk. They left Ur Kazdin. Why did he leave Ur Kazdin? What happened in Ur Kazdin? What happened in Ur Kazdin was the story of Avram Avinu and the Kishonesh. Now, there are two different responses to Avram Avinu and the Kishonesh. There's Haran and his father Terach. Haran said, listen, let me see who wins. If Avram wins, I'll go with him. If Nimrod wins, I'll go with him. I want to go with the winner. And what happens? He gets killed. His brother demands more than that of going with the winner. It's Terach. Terach standing there in Ur Kazdin. It's an awkward position. And everyone in Ur Kazdin is in an awkward position. Right there, Avram Avinu, there's Nimrod. And a Nezgolui happens right in front of their eyes. Avram Avinu is right, Avodah Zarah is wrong. But people don't change their religion so simply. They don't look when the facts are hitting them in the eye that there's a fundamental flaw in their beliefs. Just want to go on with everyday life and not pay too much attention. What did everyone do the day after Avram Avinu was saved from the Kibshon Reish by the Nezgolui? went back to work the next day, what they were doing the day before. Yesterday I was a farmer. Tomorrow I'm a farmer. In the middle of an interesting thing happened, a headline on the news. There was a Nesgoli in front of a confrontation between Avraham Avinu with this crazy idea, this one God. Nimro, the ruler, lives in Avodah Zarah. Avraham Avinu walks out. Oh, interesting. What do I do next day? Same thing I did yesterday. Most people too busy to look at the world and take the lessons and take the consequences. Now, there's a man by the name of Terach. What does he do? For him, he can go back to his idol store the next day and say, and sell more idols. What about that? No, he picks up and leaves. Picks up and leaves because he realizes his whole business is sheker. A lot of people realize the business is sheker, but parnos, and they keep doing it. No. My life has to change. He had sufficient courage of his convictions. Say, okay, I'm wrong. Business closed. Don't think about it. And he decided he's going to Arts of Canaan. What's an Arts of Canaan? There's a yeshiva there. Yeshiva of Shem Vev. A place called Be'er Sheva. In Be'er Sheva. Yeshiva of Shem Vev. The ones who preached there's one God. I'm going to not go. He so saw the truth, what happened. He realized he has to radically change himself. And he has to go to a place where he's going to be able to confront straight on the truth and change his life. What? And who was the initiative? Vayikach Terach. Terach took that initiative. Avram Beno, Veslof Ben Haran, Ben Beno, his grandson Lot, and Sarai, his granddaughter, the sister Lot. And what happened to Noah? He wasn't willing to pick up. Haran got killed. His two children, Lot and Haran, now were being taken care of by grandfather Terach. Sarai and Mary Avram Avinu already. And Noach didn't take any consequences. Yes, it's true, there's one God, but this is that, etc. Like most people. A little better, but like most people, he went to work the next day. So Terach took a major step here. If you have to look at the map, really, until I looked at a map once, I didn't understand the story. Where are they living? What's today Iraq? We are Old Kazdin. Down at the bottom of Iraq, we're on the Gulf there, not too far from the border with Kuwait. Now, where is Haran? Horns all the way up in Turkey. So what's the way of going? All the way up and all the way down. Why? Because in the middle there's a gigantic desert and they couldn't cross the desert. So they went all the way up from basically near the Kuwaiti border, the border between Iraq and Kuwait, all the way into Turkey, on the way down. It's a long trip. It's long and there's a big ability to change your mind. And in the middle, Terach changes his mind. To go all the way to the end, take an idea, decide to change your life based on that idea, and to take it to the end, you couldn't do it. And then Avraham Avinu was stuck. Avraham Avinu would like to continue. But it's his father, it's this. People have a lot of conflicts. So what does Baruch Hu tell him? Lech. They don't only tell me lech lecha, they are at zecha. A lot of tefach, so it's in Beis Avicha. You have to pick up and cut your tie with Beis Avicha. Not that Avraham Avinu didn't go back and visit Terach, he did. At this point, Avraham Avinu is 70 years old when he leaves. And take a look at the years. So Terach lived for many years. Vayi Terach Shivim Shana Vayolad as Avram. 70 years gave birth to Avram, and he lived 205 years. That means Avram Avinu was 135 years old when Terach died. That was two years before the Akedah. And what did Chazal tell us? What did Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu used to go back regularly for Kibbutz to visit Terach. He left Yitzchak back in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't want to expose him to that. So Avram Avinu had to take the next step. Told his son, but Terach said it was a movie. And we can learn a lot from Terach. A lot from Terach did, and we can learn a lot from Terach did. Terach was confronted with the truth. Confronted with the truth, he was willing to make a radical life change and act on the truth. And then he took it further and began a long, hard journey. It takes a lot. An awful lot. And then, what does he do? He says, can't go the whole way. I left it. Can't go the whole way. And Akadosh Baruch Hu told Avram, you have to go the whole way. Even if it's the expense of separating yourself and basically. First two parshas in the Torah are very key. Defining human beings, how we act, what we become. And it's the basis for all of our activities that we have. Take a chance.